Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 10th day of April, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's start to wrap up a week of really disgusting imperial overreach with this story that at least is consistent. The puppet in the swamp is going to sign more executive orders. This latest dictatorial edict is about a so-called 180-day study to see how best to pack the Supreme Court.
But that's not what worries me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
Well, maybe not really. They're more like a bull in a china shop, and China seems to be the key word here. Even Stephen Breyer, the oldest and one of the most leftist members of the court, warned this week, said the New York Times, that efforts to expand the court for obviously political reasons could undermine what little trust the public still has in the 9 black robe priests of another god and the decisions that it makes on what are called important issues. Breyer said, that authority, like the rule of law, depends on trust, a trust that the court is guided by legal principle, not politics. And he said structural alteration motivated by the perception of political influence can only feed that perception, further eroding that trust, unquote. But after the debacle where the court wouldn't even look at the obvious theft of an election in plain sight, folks, you got to wonder, come on, how much trust is there really? What could possibly be done to further erode it? And who are we kidding? Why don't they just go ahead and abolish it and do what they blankety-blankin'-well want to? Because they've demonstrated they're of no earthly use anyway. Here's one more interesting story to set things up for our look back at the rest of the week. The Hungarian Central Bank, the Magyar Nemzeti Bank, or MNB, has just announced they've purchased 63 tons of gold bars, and in so doing have tripled the nation's gold holdings up to 94.5 tons, which might be about 94 tons more than the United States still has, and they've raised their gold reserves by 3,000% now in less than 3 years. It sounds like they've at least learned from past associations with socialism. As for the rest of Europe, though, they don't seem to have learned those lessons from history. The disgustingly misnamed European Court of Human Rights has just ruled that the people in Europe don't have any. More specifically, that mandatory vaccinations are just fine. The ruling was made in response to a complaint from a group of Czech families who'd been fined and had their children denied nursery care over their refusal to have what they thought were their kids mandatorily vaccinated against a spate of childhood diseases, from diphtheria and whooping cough to hepatitis and measles. The court said whatever they want to do to your kids is just fine because compulsory jabs were in the, quote, best interest of children to ensure that, quote, every child is protected against serious diseases through vaccination or by virtue of herd immunity, unquote. Well, they're certainly working on getting rid of natural herd immunity, and what now passes for legal experts in the EU are now saying the yellow brick road to COVID-19 vaccination passports has just been paved. Item, and this ought to just raise some eyebrows, after a joint investigation, I gotta say sick there, between China and the World Health Organization, which failed to produce any legitimate explanation for the origins of the Booga Booga COVID-1984 flu, a group of international scientists has cried foul, and they're demanding a more rigorous investigation with or without the participation of Beijing, says Reuters. Why, the next thing you know, folks, they'll be demanding a more rigorous investigation by the Biden regime and the Department of Justice of Hunter Biden's non-existent laptop. How stupid are these people really? Or maybe in fairness, it's just time to restate for the, 137th time, the obvious. In a Wednesday open letter, 24 prominent scientists said Reuters and researchers from Europe, Australia, the United States, and Japan, all of them say that the WHO study, which all but ruled out a laboratory leak from the bioweapons lab there in Wuhan that we already know got their material and their funding from none other than the American NIH, Anthony Fauci, and the Obama regime. Anyway, they say it was tainted by politics. Oh no, say it isn't so, or say that we've known it for a long time, because the evidence has been out there and it's undeniable. But you're never going to get the people who done it to admit it, for crying out loud. They can't even keep their story straight about masks. Or whether if you're a good little slave and take your poke, they might let you have a cookie. Yeah, folks, here's a story you're not going to see. Bill Gates sitting down with Tony Fauci and the 60 Minutes crew, Barry Sabarco on a Zoom call, all of them saying, yeah, we fooled the entire world real good. We got them to mass themselves up, destroy their entire economy, their children's futures, and then bend over and destroy their immune system, too, while we use their own bodies to develop a truly deadly bioweapon that'll give them something to really be afraid of next time. Yeah! Moving on from there to Matt Margolis via PJ Media and another proof story to show that they're not on your team, but they really do intend to kill you. How far have we come since Martin Luther King Jr., he asked, gave that famous I Have a Dream speech? Well, look no further than a book that you can find at your local Target store called A Rhythm of Prayer, a collection of meditations for renewal, which was published in February and rapidly became a New York Times bestseller. And it includes little gems like this. A prayer to God, some God anyway, to, quote, help me hate white people. This can be found right in the book. The author shows where. Dear God, it says, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided, racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist. Unquote. Before I get to the rest, he does ask the proper question here. Just how in a hell on earth does something like this get published and then make the New York Times bestseller list? Imagine, of course, and this would never happen because it would never be allowed to be published. Interesting. If there was a daily prayer in a New York Times bestseller that began, Dear God, please help me to hate black people. There would be, justifiably so, outrage. Maybe he means, like we've seen from the leftist nutcases against Dr. Seuss or Pepe Le Pew, who certainly look pretty tolerant now in hindsight. This wonderful little devotional was written by one Shaniqua Walker Barnes, Ph.D., which, according to her bio, claims she is a theologian, sick, and psychologist, and that her mission is to, quote, serve as a catalyst for healing, justice, and reconciliation, unquote. And I think she would have fit in really well as a prison guard at Auschwitz. The whole prayer, says Margolis, goes on from there to be a hateful screed against white people. I'll say it. Adolf got nothing on these folks. And it explicitly calls out, quote, Fox News-loving, Trump-hating voters. The people who, she said, quote, don't see color, yeah, but who make thinly veiled racist comments about those people. The ones who are happy to have me over for dinner, but alert the neighborhood watch any time an unrecognized person of color passes their home. Lord, it continues, if you can't make me hate them, at least spare me from their perennial gaslighting, white man splaining, and white woman tears. The editor justifies it, of course, because all of this is for the greater good. Sounds like something Adolf would have said too, doesn't it? And they're not wanting to kill all white people, just those who aren't what they would have called race traitors and Uncle Toms if they'd been black instead. Harden my heart, this so-called prayer concludes. Some of us would suggest, hey, it's already pretty hard. Stop me from striving to see the best in people, it adds. Stop me from being hopeful that white people can do and be better. Unquote. I think that's enough anyway. No, nothing at all racist here, folks. And let me say it again. This is precisely what the late 1930s looked like in Nazi Germany, except now they've targeted a much larger population group, although it arguably still includes Jews, but now white Christians, atheists, and agnostics as well. And, of course, they've got better technology to boot. From there, I guess there's really only just one place to go today, and that's to America's Adolf, who's doing pretty much the same thing. Hey, let's start with a quote from 1935, just to set the stage. The Berlin Daily quotes their Build Back Better guy to say, this year will, quote, go down in history. For the first time, a civilized nation has full gun registration. Our streets will be safer, our police more efficient, and the world will follow our lead into the future. Which brings us to today, when the Biden Fuhrer announced the end of the Second Amendment. Well, the beginning of the end, anyway. We are hardly done yet. And a string of executive actions and legislative proposals on gun control, which he claimed was a public health crisis. Oh, and by the way, don't you worry your stupid little heads about that Second Amendment thing anyway. He's made an entire career out of saying, shall not be infringed doesn't mean squat when I put my hand on a Bible and lie. Quote,
nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about.
Haven't you figured it out yet, you slaves? You don't have any rights. We want to shut down your right to worship? Ha ha! It's not a right at all, and we'll do it if we damn well want to. How about your freedom of speech? Well, kiss that goodbye, and you knew it already. Honest elections? Ha ha! Well, that wasn't even listed in the Bill of Rights, but we put a wooden stake in that, didn't we? This is how the imposter-in-chief began his speech, essentially saying, we're going to do it to you, we're going to do it to you good and hard, and once we're done doing it to you, then we'll do whatever else we want to, too, and you won't be able to stop us. And let me start it over basically from the beginning with one of the biggest whoppers ever shoved down the throats of a gullible, dumbed-down, historically and constitutionally ignorant American people.
Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
As a matter of fact, not one bit of the Bill of Rights, for that matter, means a blankety-blankin' thing anymore. Why, just try asking at an airport to see if they've got a warrant to search your stuff or feel your undergarments. You won't make your flight, and you probably won't avoid being arrested. Ha ha! Take your warrant and shove it! And you already know we tap your phone and your computers, don't you? We don't need no stinking warrant, and shall not be infringed, no longer even slows us down either. Biden's already talked about full gun registration and the end of the entire concept of private property. No, Big Brother will decide whether you can buy, sell, or even be allowed to keep what you thought was yours. Shall not be infringed, be damned, and of course, next, you know you're not going to be allowed to buy or sell without our vaccination passport either. And then he proceeds to lie about history, too, which you'd think he ought to be able to remember, but certainly doesn't. And somebody should have done a better job on this one, folks. The very guy who said that Atlanta's voter ID was equivalent to Jim Crow should have been reminded about what the real Jim Crow laws said. Like, certain people, and guess what color they were, shouldn't be allowed to own guns, before he said this.
From the very beginning of the Second Amendment existed, certain people weren't allowed to have weapons.
Funny, isn't it, how he kind of glosses over how those certain people who weren't allowed to own guns not only include black folk now, but any folk you all want to first disarm and then do anything you blankety-blankin'-well want to with. It's just bizarre, though, he said, to suggest that, quote, some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution, unquote, and that's only provided you have half a brain, folks, can understand English, and read words like shall not for comprehension. The latest round of measures to gang rape what's left of the Bill of Rights includes some new made up out of whole cloth names for things that were once simply called firearms. Now we not only have assault weapons, which basically means any gun that you have, as opposed to anything that they have, which you're not allowed to have. A real assault weapon is full auto. Peons haven't been able to own that since the unconstitutional Nazi-based National Firearms Act in the 1930s. The Biden Fuhrer wants to expand that, too. We'll get to it in a minute. But first, the latest thing that they intend to infringe, which didn't exist before, now they're making up a word out of whole cloth, and that means you aren't going to be allowed to have it, or 3D print it, or build it. This one is called ghost guns, and that means a gun that a free person actually manages to make for themselves, as if there are things that free people can't even be allowed to build in their own shop anymore because, you know, slaves not only don't have rights, Big Brother will tell you what you can own and what you can't, and slaves evidently aren't going to be allowed to make things either. So the regime is directing the new Department of Just Us, and certainly not you, within 30 days to issue a proposed rule, and we don't need no stinking legislature even, to curb the spread of the, ooh, really scary, because they sound scary, ghost guns. Anything made from a build-it-yourself kit or printed on a 3D printer, and don't worry, those will be registered and restricted real soon too. So guess what just happened to the price of all of those? Hey, did you see this coming and buy one already? They also want to extend the Soviet-style so-called red flag laws that Stalin and company used so effectively to disarm the Russian people. If we declare that you're not mentally fit and not a good party member, or you don't have your vaccine passport, or don't have a high enough socialist credit score, why, no guns for you, and ultimately, no food for you. And really, what are you going to be able to do about it anyway? He goes on to talk about a so-called report produced in order to help undermine the Second Amendment that he's real happy with.
The report was a pivotal value. It was an important tool for policymakers when I was in the Senate and beyond at all levels. to stop firearms from being illegally diverted into dangerous hands.
Well, unless, of course, we want to put them in the hands of dangerous drug lords that are on our team, fast and furiously even, so that we can use that as leverage to take away your right to protect yourself against them and what we intend to do to you. Aren't we clever? And speaking of clever, since it's worked so well for us before, the National Firearms Act back in 1934 said, well, they tell us we can't infringe, but we can sure tax the hell out of things now, can't we? So they decided they were going to come up with three classes of things that the peons, well, might still be able to own, but only with Big Brother's permission and then careful supervision, and provided they pay the then incredibly expensive $200 tax and surrender their Fourth Amendment right when it comes to illegal search and seizure up front. You students of history may remember that originally it was limited to what were called suppressors back then. They had to change that name too. Now they're silencers, even though that's not what they do. Also things like sawed-off shotguns and true full-auto actual assault weapons. So having gotten the camel's nose under the tent, the camel now just keeps redefining whatever it wants to and says, hey, yeah, the NFA applies to that too. In the latest case, Biden says, if you take a pistol and put anything that we don't like on it, like a stabilizing brace, booga, 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 well, guess what? Now it's become one of those things that you slaves can't have or keep. Because shall not be infringed obviously doesn't mean squat. Neither does the concept of a legislative process anymore. We'll just define anything we want as anything we want, and then we can take it away. And if you don't like it, we'll declare you insane and take everything else away, too. So the Biden Fuhrer, quote, we will not wait for Congress to act to take its own steps. Hell, they might actually read that Constitution thing, and we don't like that at all. We have the authority, und the Second Amendment doesn't mean anything. Haven't we made that really clear by now? For crying out loud, folks, elections don't mean anything. Your rights don't mean anything. The rule of law doesn't mean anything. Before we move on, let's note that the Gateway Pundit reminded us on Thursday of something the senile Oathbreaker-in-Chief said on one of those rare occasions when he came out of his basement to campaign before rigging the election and occupying the Oval Office. He was confronted by a union worker in Detroit, of all places, and asked if he intended to do exactly what it looked like, destroy the Second Amendment and take people's guns. Here's how that exchange went back in March of 2020.
You are actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment right and take away our guns.
You're full of shit.
Well, certainly somebody was. From there, we need something that, even if it's disgusting, is at least a bit lighthearted, as well as a great big flashing red warning. From Paul Joseph Watson via Summit News and where else, the World Economic Forum, they're promoting a so-called smart mask that tracks your breathing. How does it know? Because Big Brother is tracking everything, including your breathing, and it alerts you and who knows who else via an app if you dare to wear it improperly or, ooh, this is bad, if you forget to wear it at all. Yeah, really, says Watson. A video clip posted to the WEF's official Twitter account on Thursday morning hypes the mask of the future, designed by, what else, a Chinese firm called CirQ Technology, which tells you when to wash it, whether you're wearing it properly, alerts you via a sensor linked to a cell phone app if you've left it at home, and what's next, folks? Well, it'll probably self-attach during the night if it feels like it. The environmental benefits of the mask, it says, are touted because it would cut down on the number of disposable face masks, now clogging up oceans and sewers worldwide. And yes, end up in landfills. Says Watson, the fact that the mask can keep track of whether or not you're wearing it and how you're wearing it has led some to suggest it could, and certainly will, be tied into the communist Chinese-style socialist credit score system. And it'll probably rat you out to the Biden regime, too, and they'll come and take your guns if you don't wear it. All of which inclines your host to make just one simple observation. Think about the utility of a simple plastic bag put over somebody's head that's stupid enough to wear the mask and knot it securely. It's faster, better, cheaper, and more permanent than any of the smart masks that you're likely to come across. And given Big Brother's increasingly undeniable plans, you can't but think that they would love that too. From there, let's take a look back at the rest of the week, more or less chronologically. Starting with one of the week's, ooh, this is a tough call nowadays, biggest hypocrisies. Well, next to the senile lying impinger-in-chief, anyway. But the tax-exempt, monopoly-guaranteed organization called Major League Baseball is certainly leading the non-governmental hypocrisy of the week category. But wait a second. Before we get to the hypocrisy itself, ponder that for just a minute. Major League Baseball doesn't actually produce anything. Like other so-called professional sports, they mostly just distract people, undermine the Constitution, and then make politically correct pontifications. But while the puppet regime and the deep state swamp wants to tax the living you-know-what out of corporations that actually make something people need, and now the Obama regime wants to tax them worldwide to boot, via a so-called global minimum tax, unless you have the right CCP connections, I suspect. Well, anyway, they're just thrilled to let guaranteed monopoly corporations like this not only get off the hook without paying a dime in federal taxes, but they get subsidies from the taxpayers to boot. So if you're ready, here we go. Monopolistic Lying Baseball, a.k.a. MLB, announced heading into last weekend they were shocked, shocked, I tell you, that people who wanted to vote via absentee ballot in Georgia might actually have to prove that they're really a voter by providing a photo ID. I mean, after all, folks, who cares who votes? It's who counts them that matters anyway. And Major League Baseball, like Biden's handlers, already know how that's going to turn out. And besides, just who do these people think they are anyway? And what kind of Nike or beer contracts do they have? Anyway, as a result of that unconscionable offense of requiring a photo ID to do something trivial like vote, they're going to move the All-Star Game away from Atlanta and the state of Georgia as punishment. Still, though, MLB did raise a few eyebrows over the weekend when they announced that when it comes to something important like picking up your All-Star Game tickets, you'd better have a photo ID to do that. Shortly thereafter, MLB announced they were moving the All-Star Game to politically correct Denver, where, at Coors Field, you'd better have a photo ID if you want to buy a beer.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
Nah, you've got entire leagues run by them. Not to mention a swamp and all of socialist media. And guess what? If you don't like it, or the videos they produce, they're going to hide that too. It turns out, and you've probably already suspected this, that YouTube doesn't want you to dislike the Biden Fuhrer. But even if you do, they intend to muzzle you there as well. And as the Epoch Times puts it, they've now deleted about 2.5 million dislikes from videos on the official White House channel of the tyrannical marionette-in-chief, according to data collected and posted online by a researcher who, for obvious reasons, would prefer to stay alive and therefore wishes to remain anonymous. YouTube, though, recently announced they're testing a new page design that just plain comes right out and does it, hides the dislike count. For at least 2 years, continues the piece, the Gulag-owned video platform has had a policy to remove likes and dislikes that it considers to be spam. In other words, if they express a constitutional, a libertarian, conservative, or especially scripturally oriented viewpoint. Said a spokesperson to the Epoch Times when questioned about their policies. They wouldn't go into details, but quote, "We have policies and systems in place to ensure that the engagement on YouTube is authentic. Oot, remove any fraudulent metrics." And while White House videos have seen these kind of interventions on an ongoing basis, it appears now at least that it's only the dislikes that are disappearing. Does make you kind of tend to suspect that a year or so ago the opposite was true, along with tweets and 2 Facebook entries. Here's the kicker, folks. Even after the interventions, the story goes on to say the videos seem to have about 6 times more dislikes than likes on average, and what they're trying to do, I guess, is just skew the figures. Without interventions, that means that the ratio would be over 17 dislikes for every like, and I can't help but think that probably approximately reflects the actual voter totals, too, from not too long ago, prior to the manipulation, of course. Typically, says the research, batches of dislikes tend to be removed about once an hour, keeping that dislike count around some kind of a constant number, while in other cases, a large portion of dislikes would be chopped down all at once. A website called 81m.org lists the results of the analysis for that, as well as several other YouTube channels with large followings, but none of them exhibited dislike removals of this magnitude. This, of course, isn't the first such complaint that we've heard, says author Peter Svob. Research psychologist Robert Epstein noted back in November that Gulag shifted millions of votes on the November 3rd election by skewing its search results and other tools compared to competitors. He told Fox News' Tucker Carlson that, quote, "Google search results were strongly biased in favor of liberals and Democrats," unquote. And that's not even true of Bing or Yahoo. So as we pause now for the break, let me submit this. I will contend that it's no longer possible even to pretend that there isn't a concerted attempt underway to utterly destroy the United States. Back now to the second segment for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's start off this one with a look back at history. 88 years ago this week, April the 5th, 1933, when
one of the most evil presidents in American history, and that's getting to be a more and more crowded list, FDR, said, not for the first time, nor the last as it turns out, the hell with the U.S. Constitution, and the American peons, a.k.a. slaves, don't have a right to own constitutional money, if Big Brother says so. So turn it all in, or else. Here's a bit of the story, courtesy of the Mises Institute. Today, they wrote earlier this week, is the 88th anniversary of Executive Order 6102, signed by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, quote, forbidding the hoarding of gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates within the continental United States. And the order was one of several disastrous responses to the Great Depression that succeeded in escalating the financial crisis. Later in the year, the United States Congress passed a resolution retroactively supporting the so-called legislation. However, it was the totalitarian leadership of FDR that paved the way for these unprecedented anti-constitutional measures, and it turns out it would be a crime, or at least allegedly so, for Americans to hold gold for over 40 years until President Gerald Ford reversed it in 1974. Author Toe Bishop goes on to ask the next logical question. Given the totalitarian swamp in Washington today, will a Bitcoin ban be next? He reviews some of the history of the expansion of the police state, most of which won't be unfamiliar to listeners here. From the 1917 Trading with the Enemies Act, used against American citizens by FDR, to the Patriot Act, the so-called War on Terror, and then what were later called the Know Your Customers laws, which continued the crackdown on American citizens and their ever-diminishing economic and societal freedom, to the unprecedented ability to now track virtually everything they do, the pattern seems undeniable, and as Bishop puts it, the same playbook is increasingly being used to target Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that might be beyond the reach of the state. The claim, although obviously bogus, that's been used by Big Brother for decades to manage the central currency and prohibit the peons the use of honest money is pretty much the same as it's always been. There's money laundering, don't you know? Corruption, bribes, and other schemes. Not to mention terrorism. All of those things, of course, are just fine when Big Brother's minions do it, and we've seen how effectively they've been prosecuted or not. And that applies, obviously, not just to sons of dictators and secretaries of state, as well as the three-letter agencies that cover for them, but their preferred drug cartels, too. And certainly foreign powers and potential frenemies, like Iran when it suits them, and obviously communist China. More importantly, though, while central bankers, writes Bishop, often publicly dismiss the role of non-political assets like gold and Bitcoin in financial markets, in their own circles they understand very well the dangers that exist in allowing the public the option of opting out of their financial schemes and the hyperinflation soon to come. And as FDR's crackdown on gold showed, tyrants certainly understand the importance of controlling money in a time of crisis. Especially, as your host adds here, when they've been working up to it so carefully all along. So it's important to understand the primary mechanisms that were used, both then and perhaps now, by FDR's American fascists of the Third Reich era, and no doubt the globalist world controllers of the Fourth Reich as well. First, the possession of gold by the peons after May 1st was criminalized. If we eventually find you've got any, we'll not only steal it and then fine you, we'll lock you up and throw away the key. Likewise, there was a prohibition on contracts that were written to be payable in gold, private or not, because remember, slaves don't really own property, and certainly, Constitution be damned. And of course, Big Brother's revenue agents went to the places that they had control, like the federally regulated banks, met safe deposit box holders at the vault and said, give us your gold or else. Oh, and aren't we nice? We'll pay you $20.80 for a $20 gold piece. For now. Later on, once they had it all stolen fair and square, they ultimately raised the price to $35 an ounce, devaluing the almost fully fiat paper dollar, thus stealing about 40% of Americans' wealth.
With Bitcoin, the obvious mechanisms for control are pretty much the same. If anything, given how pervasive electronic snooping is nowadays, and the fact that for the most part, most of the peons aren't going to be able to access the web without Big Brother's permission anyway, it might even be easier. And as for those with better connections, higher tech capabilities, and of course, the right kind of pull where it matters, hey, that's what real loopholes are for. But if you have to exchange cryptocurrencies using some kind of an electronic wallet or the equivalent, you'll certainly find your options monitored and eventually limited or maybe just prohibited.
What's in your wallet?
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 What's in your wallet? As if we don't already know.
And bear in mind, folks, that the very same mechanisms and threats used to confiscate gold, basically boiling down to massive fines and, of course, jail terms, or nowadays it'll be concentration camps, will work for Bitcoin, too. And as we've talked about in the first segment, that's only a part of what it's going to take when it comes to firearms. From there, we'll move on and pick up the rest of our look back at the week that was with a sequence that, well, I'll see if the title isn't obvious in just a bit. Still, though, sometimes it's hard to decide where to start because, to use the Spanish expression, ¿quién es más estúpido? From Jim Steele via Lou Rockwell and the National Academies of Sciences, SIC, which is now recommending the United States pursue a robust research program into solar geoengineering to reflect sunlight. We don't need that anymore, do we? And forestall what they claim are the worst effects of booga, booga, booga global warming. They want a fifth of $1 billion over the next few years from the Biden regime. And these scientists are pushing a climate crisis narrative, he says, arguing that greenhouse gas emissions are not falling quickly enough and that plants might survive, even if people don't, and that, quote, without decisive action to oot a rapid stabilization of global temperature, risk from a changing climate will increase in the future. Even though most data, even if they've been manipulating it, shows that global temperatures have been dropping now for the better part of two decades. With, quote, potentially catastrophic consequences, which should alarm everyone. No, says the author, not because the climate crisis is real, but certainly isn't man-made, but because solar geoengineering is the heart of asinine stupidity and truly endangers humanity.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
At least Sweden blocked experiments that were planned for June of this year. But even if a whole bunch of government-paid pseudoscientists are trying to destroy the Earth via geoengineering, arguably the more deadly and close-in effort has to do with turning the entire human population into a bioweapons reactor. Via, no, not the vaccine, but the mRNA gene therapy that's being injected into people that they're trying to call that. So here's a bit of the hysteria the media are still trying to push now, even in the heart of Texas. Where some were trying to paint the Texas Rangers home opener versus the Toronto Blue Jays in their new stadium in Arlington as a potential super spreader event, in spite of the mask idiocy that was being mandated. From the ABC affiliate.
This morning, concerns about a double mutant coronavirus variant in the U.S. The variant first discovered in India, now identified in the San Francisco area.
Wait, where? San Francisco? Well, I guess, where else? But you'd have to wonder, did it come from the feces in the streets, or the needles in the streets, or the illegal aliens in the streets? One thing I guarantee you, you're not going to be told, but Dr. Geert Vandenbosch did, along with others, the variants will increase as the vaccination levels do.
This is the first time this particular double mutant has been found in the United States, and it was found here at our Stanford laboratory.
This is COVID cases across the country climb, and fears of a fourth wave are growing, even as more than 106 million Americans have received at least one dose of the vaccine.
Like, you mean that the correlation here between more vaccinations and more double mutant strains is not just a mere coincidence?
It's kind of like a race between getting people vaccinated, and the more people on a daily basis you get vaccinated, the better chance you have of blunting or preventing that surge that we're all concerned about.
Booga, booga, booga. So get your poke, folks. Yeah, that's what it's going to tell you. But Interestingly, haven't 100 million Americans plus already taken the poke to prevent death by something that would only kill a tiny fraction of 1% anyway and probably isn't nearly as hazardous to you as the side effects and unknown long-term effects of genetically modifying your immune system anyway? And why not just take some vitamin D or get out in the sun? Because that gives you far better actual protection. At least that's what experts like Dr. Ryan Cole will say. How can there be a surge if the only real surge is in vaccinations?
The nation's daily case average up nearly 20% in the last 2 weeks.
What? Why? How can that be?
Experts fearing the spread of variants will only accelerate it.
If we don't control COVID-19, that gives the virus opportunities for new mutations to arise. Now is not the time to let our guards down.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
Meanwhile, back at the ballpark, the breathless talking head tells us that the Rangers, at least, aren't going to allow science to intrude on their totalitarianism.
They have safety protocols in place. Even though Texas is a state that's opened up to 100% without restrictions, they will be requiring fans to wear masks here today. They say if you don't comply, you'll get a warning, and then you could be ejected.
What, no vaccine pass? Well, we'll come back to that in a bit. Next, from Senile Central. And I should have done this earlier in the week, but hey, there was plenty of stupidity then to go around too. And to be really frank, I just couldn't quite stomach it. The Biden Fuhrer welcomed the Easter Bunny to the White House on Sunday. No Easter egg roll, of course, because, you know, booga, 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 you haven't all taken your vaccines yet. But in probably one of the most asinine, idiotic photos I ever saw, a masked Jill and her puppet Joe Biden stood on the White House balcony along with what's been called the super awkward appearance of the Easter Bunny. A guy in a bunny costume wearing a bunny mask and another idiotic mask over the bunny mask. Hey, he pretty much said, are you dumbed down Americans getting the message yet? And given the echo, the mask, and of course the dementia, the guy was pretty well unintelligible anyway, so I won't bore you with the whole recording, but at least this conclusion is apropos.
May God protect our troops and take care of the Easter Bunny.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
This one, sadly, you have to hear to believe. First, traitorous rhino Mitch McConnell has asked, does he still have total confidence in one of the most lying cretins, well, I don't think he's really stupid, I just think he's evil, ever to advise a president of the United States? America's Dr. Mengele, Tony Fauci.
I'm just curious if you still have total confidence in Dr. Fauci, as you said several months ago.
Yeah, I think he's the principal person we've relied on for the last couple of years. That's become somewhat controversial, I gather.
Oh, you figured that out, did you? Yeah, that's because he's been caught lying over and over again and contradicts himself every other day, not to mention the level of destruction he wreaks. But he follows that up with one of the most idiotic statements you're likely to hear. Listen carefully.
But we have to take advice from somebody.
Well, why not the Easter Bunny then, or the real Joseph Mengele?
And for myself, looking at his history and background, he's the most reliable witness I've seen.
Well, except maybe for Hunter Biden, but we'll never call him. I do have to admit it, folks. Calling Anthony Fauci reliable when it comes to advice you ought to consider is kind of like saying Ted Bundy looks trustworthy. Here's an update from another really trustworthy guy that you pretty much haven't heard anything about. Well, ever since he really started trying to do a job that he obviously hasn't done, depending, of course, on what you think that job description really is. Remember the name Bull Durham, a.k.a. Attorney John Durham, who was supposed to be looking into all kinds of crimes that you literally haven't heard a word since about? Attorneys, though, did uncover material related to the Seth Rich murder case from the FedGov, and yesterday, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit via attorney Ty Clevenger, they've now learned that their evidence related to the case must be destroyed, says Durham, by April 28th. They contacted the so-called investigator months ago, and he won't respond to the request asking that evidence be maintained rather than being destroyed. Who does he think he is? Head of the FBI? Here's the content from the letter. Mr. Durham, on October 12, 2020, wrote Ty Clevenger, I sent a letter to you and then Attorney General William Barr about the need to preserve evidence related to the origins of the so-called Russian collusion investigation, but neither you nor anyone else at the Department of Justice responded to that letter. Yesterday, I learned that the evidence is due to be destroyed not later than April 28, 2021, pursuant to a so-called protective order. I urge you again to take steps to secure the evidence and prevent its destruction, in no small part because I believe the public has a right to know what it reveals. I cannot discuss the exact nature of the evidence, however, because of the restrictions in that protective order. He said this in conclusion, "If another lawyer informed me about the evidence that was relevant to one of my cases, I can't imagine sticking my head in the sand the way you have. Like President Trump, I've come to suspect that you and Mr. Barr were acting in bad faith and that you appeased President Trump with the pretense of a legitimate investigation even as you were, quote, running out the clock. That said, please feel free to prove me wrong." By the way, in case you've forgotten, added Joe Hoft, it was attorney Ty Clevenger's perseverance that led to the eventual recovery of information showing that the Department of Justice did in fact involve itself in Seth Rich's case even after years of denying the same. Now we find out that Durham isn't even responding to requests to maintain evidence that the average American has not been allowed to see related to the Seth Rich case, and of course, if they continue doing what they've been doing, never will.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
Well, two corrections here, of course. First, these people never really were on our team. And second, we'd have to arguably be morons ourselves to believe they're really that stupid and not just duplicitous oath-breaking liars. And nowadays, we have to include the word traitor, too. When it comes to morons, though, we're arguably saving at least one of the best for last. And these people might actually have a pretty good claim to being morons as well as evil. I'm talking about who? Yeah, the so-called World Health Organization. And again, it's the Gateway Pundit that tells us they're at it again, and again rewriting history. Now they're changing the meaning of herd immunity and saying, no, it has nothing to do with our fearfully and wonderfully made immune system that came from, another name you're not allowed to say. It only results, and I'm not kidding, they actually said this, from mass vaccination. Over a year ago, says TGP, when covered and reported that the WHO was pushing garbage data. Dr. Tedros there was claiming the mortality rate for the booga 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 flu, the Chinese coronavirus, was near 3.4%. Which was a grossly exaggerated number, and we provided evidence for our analysis. But now, WHO is at it again, making more false assertions? Now they're claiming the only way society can get to herd immunity with the Chinese coronavirus is through vaccinations. And they've totally forgotten, or are totally ignoring, natural immunity to COVID-19. And here they quote Dr. Kelly Victory, who wrote that redefining herd immunity as immunity that only results from mass vaccination is part of the great COVID-19 science rewrite, their attempt to negate the power and reality of natural immunity. They compared the before and after November 2020 website, pointing out that as of June 9th of 2020, the WHO definition of herd immunity was, quote, the indirect protection from an infectious disease either through vaccination or previous infection. But after COVID, it's been changed to a concept used specifically, quote, for vaccination, in which a population can be protected from a certain virus. Herd immunity, they now say, is achieved by protecting people from a virus, not exposing them to it, unquote. Thus, it seems that WHO is intent on erasing the entire scientific history of the immune system's natural response to infection in favor of the exclusive requirement for vaccines to do the protection instead.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
Item. On Friday, Governor Greg Gianforte of Montana received his first COVID-19 poke, making a public spectacle of his becoming a guinea pig. And on Monday, he and his wife both tested positive for the booga booga flu.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
Now, I realize, of course, folks, that it could have been a coincidence. They might have already had it. They might not have it at all. And it's just another one of those false positives that we've gotten so used to. So why even mention it? Because, after all, the lying Faucis of the world will tell you you still have to wear a mask, as if that made any difference, and you still have to take the poke, as if that made any difference, because you might still get the booga booga flu anyway, only that if you do, you might not die. But, of course, odds are 99%+ that if you got it anyway, which you might not have done had you just simply taken some vitamin D, you probably, almost certainly, wouldn't have anything to worry about regardless. The point is the following, folks. If you don't take it and something bad happens, you know they're going to blame it on the fact that you didn't bend over and become a guinea pig. And furthermore, they're not going to allow you into places. If you're not a good little slave and don't have your vaccine passport, you know darn well that's coming. You know also that as the wave 2 and 3 and 4 and all of the booga booga double mutant variants appear on the scene, as they're being incubated in people who are taking the poke as part of the mass bioreactor campaign, they're going to say what? Yeah, exactly the opposite of what the truth is. And it's not like we haven't seen a whole lot of people who were said to have died, not just with, but from COVID-19, when in fact they were killed in a motorcycle crash by a double tap to the head or a car wreck, or even in the case here from Colorado that the coroner got really upset about. They died of alcohol poisoning, and that was still called a COVID death, all ultimately and obviously now in hindsight for the same reason. To scare the living hell out of people and convince them that when the poke is available, you will take it or else. Und you will wear your mask, und you will not complain, und you will not even be allowed to see or share the scientific information that contradicts the official Big Brother narrative. And that, folks, is what really ought to A, tell people what the real truth is, and B, set their hackles on edge. Here's an interesting article you're probably not going to hear about in the Communist News Networks. Courtesy of Echo Textile News and Global Research, top German scientists have found that wearing certain types of face masks for long periods of time, which you shouldn't do anyway if you care about your health, could result in potentially hazardous chemicals and harmful microplastics being inhaled deep into human lungs, as if rebreathing your own exhaust gases wasn't enough. Professor Michael Braungart, director at the Hamburg Environmental Institute and co-founder of the world-renowned cradle-to-cradle environmental standard, has told Echo Textile News that mask wearers unwittingly run the risk, and isn't that an understatement, of breathing in carcinogens, allergens, and tiny synthetic microfibers by wearing both textile and non-woven surgical masks for long periods of time. These findings have been backed up by another leading industry textile chemist, Dr. Dieter Sedlak, managing director and co-founder of Modern Testing Services in Augsburg, Germany, in partnership with Modern Testing Services Global of Hong Kong, who found elevated concentrations of hazardous fluorocarbons, formaldehyde, and other potentially carcinogenic substances on surgical face masks. And that's not all. Separate studies by Dr. Sedlak have also shown the presence of compounds such as 2-butatone oxine diisocyanates used as crosslinkers to perfluorocarbons, or PFCs, on face masks, and used by the textile sector as oil and water repellents on fabrics. Byproducts of PFCs are known to be biopersistent, and their use is heavily restricted even by authorities in Europe and the USA. Except, of course, folks, when they're mandating that you put them over your face for extended periods of time. Last year, a group of scientists in the U.S. called for all per- and polyfluorinated substances, or PFAs, to be treated as one single class of chemistry and said they should be avoided for all non-essential uses due to their hazardous toxicological and ecotoxicological profiles. This is a big issue, said Dr. Sedlak. Honestly, I'd not expected PFCs would be found in a surgical mask, but we have routine methods in our labs to detect these chemicals easily and immediately identify them. And the story goes on and on, folks, but the bottom line is, hey, you already knew that putting something over your face when you're intended to be able to respirate through your nose and mouth wasn't good. It's just that when you rebreathe your own exhaust gases, decrease the oxygen in your bloodstream, and you can measure that, and increase the carbon dioxide at the same time, you knew the rest couldn't be good. It just turns out that the rest is a lot more than Big Brother still wants you to hear about. The global research story says this: leading scientists are now beginning to question whether the real risk of exposure to potentially hazardous chemicals from long-term mask wearing is actually much higher than the risk of coming into contact with booga, 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 the SARS-CoV-2 virus itself, especially for children and young adults who are in the low-risk category when it comes to developing severe COVID-19 in the first place. So it does incline your host to ask this question just one more time. Hey, I wonder if they're lying to you about the poke, too. Well, lest we have any doubt on that score, 2 final stories, both from Natural News. Mike Adams, in an extensive piece, says that mRNA vaccines, here's a surprise, may cause your body to churn out prions that, quote, eat your brain. If you've heard of mad cow disease, you know what that means. Long-term testing on human guinea pigs will confirm or deny that one, no doubt. And finally, from Ethan Huff at the same source, the third wave of COVID deaths is coming our way, and we're expecting to see mass deaths among the vaccinated. Because, it says, buried within a report compiled by the Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group on Modeling, or SPI-M, is an admission that most of the people who will die during the third wave have already been fully vaccinated for the Wuhan flu. Because already the resurgence in both hospitalizations and deaths is dominated by those who have received two doses of the vaccine. They comprise 60-70% of the wave. If history is any guide, though, and it is, expect to see this next wave assigned to something, almost anything other than the true cause. Call it a word to the wise, folks. Wannabe guinea pigs need not apply.